from Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions. This is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 co-hosts are Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Feels cynical. Just consider where we have been.
If you want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you. Woo!
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 21st of October, 2013. This is Mark Skogman.
This is Bruce Wright.
Let's get to the program preview. On tonight's program, this edition of Spectrum 360, we've got a great program for you. We work very hard to bring you a great program every week, and they're only going to get better. How's that? On segment one, we're going to have a live telephone interview with Connie Burton and an in-studio interview at the same time with Bruce Wright. They have just returned from the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area and the World Court of Women. We're going to have a report from their several-day trip to the World Court of Women on location in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's going to be great. Also, our next segment after that, we're going to also talk about the new film, The Fifth Estate. You're going to hear some audio of the film, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away, correct?
Yes, we do. We have a pair of tickets to give away to The Fifth Estate,
and we're
probably going to have some over the next several weeks, folks, as long as the film is playing. In addition, it looks like we're going to have some tickets next week to give away to Michael Frenti.
Yes, very cool. That's going to be excellent. So we've got some giveaways. We're going to cover the Fifth Estate. And we're also going to cover the Duke Energy ripoff rally. We're going to talk about that and have some audio. That was a barn burner.
The ripoff rally. Say that five times fast.
Duke Energy ripoff rally. I'll see it once.
Not going to do it.
Not going to do it?
Can you say Duke?
Okay, enough of that. And then we're also going to speak about a couple other things that have happened in the area, the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. And if we've got some time, we're going to sneak in some other stuff as well. So it's another action-packed, good program. We're waiting for our first guest to call in, and it looks like she is on the telephone now.
Ow! Connie, you there?
Take it away, Bruce.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. I'm here with my partner, Mark Skogman, and for those who don't know, Connie Burton is from, she's one of our own from the Tampa Bay area. She is involved in housing rights activism and a whole range of issues, including issues around the what we like to call the prison pipeline. And that is just the whole idea of incarcerating people for things like addiction instead of giving them treatment. But what we're going to talk about tonight, and you'll hear from her more in the future, I'm sure, with shows. What we're going to talk about tonight, though, is the World Court on Women in Poverty. And I was privileged to go to this along with Connie Burton. She traveled with us on a 20-hour van ride. Mark knows about long road trips, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, I've done a few of those. A few of those with you, as a matter of fact.
I know, and this is why he didn't come this time. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't ask me how much fun they were.
So Connie, tell us, first of all, some of the work you do real quick. And then what were your impressions of the World Court on Women?
Well, some of the work that I've been involved is, you know, the whole of working against social and economic injustice.
But tell me exactly what the event and what the organization is, as succinctly as you can. Exactly what is it?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
Well, just the most basic description of the organization and what it does, so people understand what it is.
Okay. Well, it looks at issues, policies that is affecting voiceless people inside of our community that have been ignored essentially from our political leaders. So we organize from the grassroots, from the bottom up. Helping our community to understand that we have a right to a basic quality of life, that we have a right not to be marginalized, and we definitely have a right to fight for our independence. So it's about connecting with other poor women inside of our communities and addressing the issues as it relates to education, economic development, and that's the layout.
Well, thank you for that, Connie, because that gives a good backdrop to why, of course, you went and, you know, why I went as well, because I am involved with poverty and homelessness issues, both from personal experience and professional experience. And the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, of course, was the host of this event, and I've been involved with them for a few years. So you went with us to this event. We heard last week, Sherry was our guest, Sherry Honkler, with the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign.
Yeah, that was great.
And she talked about the World Court on Women. But I want to hear from your perspective as a local activist, what your impressions were of the World Court for Women on Poverty and Homelessness.
Well, I really, really want to just appreciate being invited to participate in such a national event. And when I say national, because a lot of times when we hear about the convening of world courts, we're thinking about sometimes people in third world countries off the continent of Africa, and the issues affecting people here in America might get glossed over by, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, seconds of news media. And with a lot of times the people that is actually suffering from these issues are having to carve out a life day by day, do not have an opportunity to lend their voice to what the issues are and the solution to the problem. So coming and, you know, being allowed to go to this conference, I had an opportunity to again see that inside this United States, people are organizing themselves to speak out against these injustices and to come up with some valuable solutions in how we can move forward. And so this was a combination of women of all races from different regions that has essentially said enough is enough, that we are refusing to quietly endure, silently suffer, and patiently wait. We've been dealing with a so-called social crisis in this country through the great societal program. And what we see is a lot of money is often thrown toward the program, but the people that actually know what the solutions are not brought to the table. We're carving out our own agenda and uniting with other women throughout this country to say we're willing to sit to the table and solve our problem.
Well, Connie, tell me, what was your impression? You know, this was a very different kind of thing, although I know you've been involved in some tribunal-style testimony and hearings before, in particularly local settings. But what was it like to hear some of these stories? I know for me, particularly some of the young African women that were from Camden, New Jersey, I guess that one sticks in my mind the most because it was just so, I mean, they were such beautiful women, young women who used their talents, but it was heart-wrenching to hear their stories. For those who don't know, Camden is really, I guess, the poorest city in the country next to Native American reservations. And just some amazing things heard there from their testimony, and certainly everyone who gave testimony, including yourself. But tell me, what was it like hearing this stuff? I mean, you know, I know you're aware of it, because we're dealing with it locally here, but to hear this, like, widespread kind of...
Well, a lot of times, you know, you can kind of, like, come to some conclusion that what is happening to you is you, and it's your fault. When the program opened up with a young lady being 13 years old singing one of the John Lennon's songs, Imagine, that really, really, you know, touched me, because here we want to imagine giving all of our children an opportunity to quality education, a safe environment, a government that works in its interest, and then the possibility that they can be any and everything that they might want to be. But the reality is, that is not the truth. Because we see some neighborhoods are deprived with the basic necessities of life. We see a lot of school closures. We see overcrowding in classrooms. We see the high suspension and expulsion rate as it relates to the African community. We see the prison, school, the pipeline. We see young people that have just essentially lost hope. So when we see these young people just coming with sincerity and honesty and a willingness, a thought that in America they can make it, and then, you know, you look at the reality that it's a good shot in a million that they might. Because they're up against some severe obstacles. We're seeing that even people that have graduated with a variety of degrees based on a variety of trade pacts that policymakers have laid out, they might never become financially stable as maybe their parents were. Things are getting away from the people and our children being able to imagine the possibilities. And so those of us that, that are committed to fighting for a future for our children, it is our responsibility to stop this hemorrhaging. And that's how I saw it. So when I saw those young people from Camden just talking about their aspiration, I just said that all of us that was at that conference, we're on the right side of history. We're on the right side of history because not only what is going on here in the United States, it is being felt globally. And we know globally people are striking out, making demands that their government work in their interest and not against them.
Well, you know, Connie, we heard so much testimony at this this event that reflected that. And, of course, naturally, one of the founding inspirations of this whole movement was Karin Kumar, who is from India, and has really, there have been 40 of these World Courts of Women around the world, and she herself was just an amazing inspiration. But then hearing all the stories from, you know, whether it was from New York City or upstate New York or Philadelphia, of course, several testimonies there, Cleveland, down in Florida, all over the Northeast and parts of the Midwest. Tell me some of the things that went on there real quick.
Wasn't there a jury involved in this process as well as testimony?
Yes.
And there were conclusions drawn in that. Tell me more about that. I'm very interested in that.
Yes, please.
Well, see, you know, people had, you know, those that want to testify had an opportunity to speak to. And I would say this is what I would consider a jury of our peers. Come in with absolutely no bias.
Yes.
Having no commitment to holding to the status quo, and was willing to listen to the people's issues. The people laid out clearly their inability to strike out of a living in this economy where they're working two and three jobs and still not being able to make ends meet. They talked about the deficit in housing programs, not having enough affordable housing and having rents that is consuming well over 60% of their income.
Wow.
People are talking about food insecurities. And see, this is what I thought was so wonderful about that. We're talking about not in a third world country, not about something that we don't know. We're talking about what we live with day by day. So we're able to tell our own story based off our own experience. And so the jurors was moved by that. here were some people that grew with hopes and aspirations and found themselves consumed with mental depression, having to deal with the consumption of drugs that has been deliberately poured in our community, and somehow having the will, the strength to pull themselves back from the brink, you know, with the help of 11 organizations that is committed to working with our communities. But this is what I understood, that the people, poor women in particular, if I consider the backbone, the thread that has made so much of America move forward. We don't have the wealth, but we have the energy. We have the power. We have the skill. We've done the hard work. Now it is the time for the people that have done the hard work to get some of the reward.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, I'm listening to you, Connie. I'm reminded of a town hall meeting that George W. Bush had one time where there was a woman, a middle-aged woman, late middle-aged woman, who got up out of the audience and said she had to work two jobs to make, you know, make ends meet. And she basically, all she did was work, go from one job to the other. And I remember President George W. Bush said, "Oh, that's uniquely American." Well, I'd like to say, you know, that's uniquely in a period of inequality where the rich are getting richer. There's a huge income disparities, and the income in the country is being concentrated at the top. And we have factories that are at their highest productivity ever. So the productivity level is way up, and the benefits of this are not filtering down to the workers. So like you said, there's people working three jobs, and they can't earn enough income to provide for themselves, which is ridiculous. So I appreciate your activism in this issue, and I totally support what you're saying, and we need to take more action on this. What's the solutions that we can start to implement?
Well, the first solution is organizing and realizing that we're not in this by ourselves, that, you know, that which was identified as the middle class is shrinking. More and more women are beginning to understand that we have more in common than not, that we just have to come to the point of being honest. We have to be honest in our discussion. We can't allow those that work against our interests to continue to divide us. We want quality education for all children, not just some children that live in certain zip codes. We don't want our young people to be the fuel that keeps this prison economy going. No, we want to be able to, as the old phrase has always been laid out, pay our debt to society and be able to move forward. And I believe that the courage of women in this country, in this world, we're going to see a tremendous change, because now all of our backs are against the wall. People that have gone out with, you know, real clear hope of obtaining degrees are finding that they can't find jobs. People that are bought into the American dream see that they can't retain their homes.
Yes.
And the same way that women that have had to depend on social services is seeing now that we're being blamed for, you know, constant budget crisis in this country. And so that group of women, this group of women, women in general, and all of those that unite with us have a tremendous opportunity to come up under the banner of ending this type of injustice, so we can build a world in which all of us can live in.
Well, you know, I mean, I couldn't have said it better than that, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
You know, I'm excited about what's happening with this movement that's happening, a real movement of the people from the bottom up, of people affected by it, of the oppressed. And you know, as I was there and had opportunity to give testimony as well, which, you know, maybe later I can get into that at another show. And, you know, we hope to have several of the people that spoke. We have audio of that, and we have audio of the jurors, which included Jill Stein, David Cobb, and many others to bring forward. But I know that just for our listeners to know, this is not just an event that is an end in and of itself. These findings are going to be brought to the UN High Commission on Human Rights. And, you know, this is being treated as if it was a judicial hearing. In fact, some of the people on the jurors we're lawyers, and so
yes.
I, you know, I'm excited.
So it's a quasi-judicial a process.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, Connie.
Let me just say this: how you know I'm not a member of the Green political party, but it meant something for poor women to be in the presence of the former candidates for president and vice president of the Green Party. That meant something.
Yes, it did.
That meant something that attorneys, that, you know, high-power attorney in the day-to-day pursuit of, you know, carving out a living for themselves, took the time to come and listen to the voiceless. That meant something. So we have a lot of wood that has been put up on our feet. The flames are lit. We realize that we can't wait on a 2016 movement. We can't wait on a reactionary of some certain parties in the United States. We can't allow political leaders to, you know, pit us one against the other. We understand that for the survival of our children and the next generation that is to come along, that we want accountability. We want accountability in the form that we all are given an equal opportunity to pursue our dreams here in this America, and that no one is left behind.
Yes, and Connie, I couldn't have said it better. You've hit everything that this whole World Court on Women on Poverty and Homelessness was all about. There'll be more to come, including courts of women in the Midwest and, yes, in the South. Probably in our own Bay Area, and I'm sure we'll be covering it.
Great.
And that was Connie Burton. I thank you again, Connie. We'll be talking more to Connie Burton in the future, a local housing rights activist.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Connie Burton, local housing rights activist. The man breathes into his saxophone, and through the walls you hear the city groan. Outside, it's America. Outside, it's America. Spectrum 360 with Mark Scoglin and Bruce Wright. Your progressive political talk and humor program.
Yeah.
It was not an alien.
No, it was not an alien.
Actually, our show is so well received around the universe that it could have been. Airwaves go, from what I understand, I'm not the techie like you and our soundboard man, Derek, which we don't acknowledge enough, but...
No, it's Cedric.
Cedric, I'm sorry.
Remember?
Oh, terrible.
Said Rick.
Yes,
like,
but
like
anyway...
Said Bruce or
yes,
said Mark. It's
but, you
said
know,
Rick.
We don't acknowledge our board man enough, and I want to thank
yes,
Cedric. And
our station engineer, Cedric
And if
Harris,
I get his name
yes,
right, you know... but really, you guys would know better than I would about airwaves traveling. So who knows? Maybe aliens are listening. Certainly, we know that some of you are listening. And with that in mind, we're going to be giving away some tickets very soon to the movie The Fifth of State, which is the new movie about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. These tickets in particular will be for Movie Co. at Baywalk in downtown St. Pete. But I know we're going to talk a little more about the show, so Mark, take it away.
Okay, here's a little audio from the Fifth Estate.
You've got about four Humvees. You're clear. Light them all up. All right, fire it. Keep shooting.
A video was leaked today depicting what appears to be a U.S. military helicopter firing on unarmed reporters.
12 million people have seen that video. You still want to tell me you think it's just a little website?
They have an agenda?
Truth, justice, the American way.
Man is least himself when he talks in his own person. But if you give him a mask, he will tell you the truth.
Two people and a secret. The beginning of all conspiracy. More people and more secrets. But if we could find one moral man, one whistleblower, someone willing to expose those secrets, that man could topple the most powerful and most repressive of regimes.
This bank is hiding billions of dollars in offshore accounts.
We're going to nail those bastards.
Former head of Iceland's biggest bank has been accused of fraud.
We took down $1 billion bank. This is crazy.
Courage is contagious.
The White House today blasted the leak of over 90,000 military documents.
The military logs expose hundreds of informants. There are lives at risk here.
I need names of sources who could be harmed if these cables are put out.
They're coming after us. We need to publish now.
This is the biggest leak of classified information in history.
The Guardian, New York Times, all standing alongside you.
This is going to change everything.
He's not a journalist. He's a threat to national security.
This is all about survival.
Lives are at stake.
What about the lives of the civilians in these conflicts?
If we had someone like you, the Berlin Wall would have come down years before.
We're on the verge of a major international crisis.
If you want to do this, you have to do it now.
We've got 5 seconds.
We're going 5 seconds on.
It's just you and your ego
and the lies you tell to get whatever you want.
This is information the world needs to know.
We need to crush these guys.
It's life. Times is life.
If
you want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of.
Wow, I get goosebumps listening to
Let
that.
Let me assert my firm belief.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, you know, I haven't seen it yet, so Mark, I probably need to defer to you on it. But I want to give away our phone number to call, and it's basically the first caller. So this should be real easy. We're not asking you any tough questions. You just be the first caller. And the number is locally 727-441-3000. If you're calling from other parts of the country via listening online at www.10talk1340.com, you can reach us at 866-826-1340. That's 866-826-1340 or locally 727-441-3000. First caller to call us. We will acknowledge you on air.
Yes, and I was able last week on Tuesday to attend a pre-screening, a free sneak preview before the film opened in wide release on this last Friday, the 18th of October, and the film is great. And it got from what I understand, it got a bad review in the Tampa Bay Times. And let me explain just briefly what the film actually is. It's a political psychological thriller. It's about a current issue, something that's ongoing, but it's a political psychological thriller. It's not a love story. It's not an action movie. That's what it is. And let's see if we've got a winner. We're going to be going to break for 5 minutes to catch up with the rest of the world with news and weather and a few commercial messages, and then we'll be back. So,
Cedric, we have a winner?
Anita.
Anita, are you on the air?
Hang on one second.
I was listening, and I said, okay, I'm going to try to win those tickets.
Well, congrats, Anita. We're about to go into a break, but... Cedric's going to get all your information, and we'll send you a pair of tickets to go see it at Movie Co. downtown St. Petersburg, Baywalk.
Woo! All right.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Very cool. I got to talk to you, too.
Okay.
So, we'll give me a holler later.
We will. Thank you. Okay.
Very good. Nice talking to you, Anita.
Okay, are you guys going to put me on the air, or do you want me to...
Actually,
we just did.
You were on the air.
Oh, my goodness!
Yes.
We just did.
So, we will talk to you later. Thank you, Anita.
I think you guys are doing a great show. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
And that was Anita from Tampa. You're listening to Spectrum 360.
Woo!
When I'm with you.
Attention, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel in Dade City. You got a new cab company in town. That's AAA Cab Service. Let me tell you what they do. They got military, senior discounts. They'll take you any place you're going to go, shopping, to the doctor, to and from work, anywhere. Call them now. That's 813-838-3700. That's 813-838-3700. That's AAA Cab Company, 813-838-3700.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Prescription Addiction Radio Show, Breaking the Silence. New time, 5 to 7. Drive time, Tuesdays. I am Larry G. Along with Montana, we talk about the topics nobody else is talking about. OxyContin, Vicodin, Xanax, Prozac, Lexapro, Seroquel, Cymbalta, heroin, and even marijuana. You don't know about drugs until you listen to the Prescription Addiction Radio Show, brought to you by Novus Medical Detox and Suncoast Rehabilitation. Tuesday nights, 5 to 7.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Weekiwachee Springs State Park off U.S. 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids has been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 and 3 p.m. daily, and Fish Tales Underwater Performance at 1:30 p.m. daily. Weekiwachee Springs State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring at Buccaneer Bay. Weekiwachee Springs State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on their white sandy beach. Spend the day in an original theme park, the Weekiwachee Springs State Park, U.S. 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Call 352-592-5656 for information, or log on to weekiwachee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Weekiwachee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
Hey, this is Artie Fletcher from the Artie Fletcher Show. You know I always give you good advice, so I want to give you more. Come visit Cooper's Automotive Repair, conveniently located at 1603 North Hercules Ave in Clearwater. We are family-owned and operated since 1996. We offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty on all repairs. Our services include, but not limited to, air conditioning and heating, brakes, shocks, struts, front and suspension work, alternators, batteries, oil changes, tires, engines, transmissions, and general maintenance services. We do it all, baby. Buy three shocks and struts and get the fourth free. $19.95 oil change up to five quarts of 5W30 synthetic blend plus tax disposal fee. Same as cash, 6 months financing with approved credit. The place where sick car and trucks come for recuperation and healthy cars come to stay that way. Visit our website, www.coopersar.com, or call us at 727-443-7922.
One morning, I woke up and I knew
Spectrum 360. And remember to go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and like us on Facebook. Also, you can
like us everywhere, Mark.
Well, like us on Facebook first.
Okay.
Then like us in person. You know, yes. Give us a hug.
Mark needs a hug. He's tired today.
Give us a card, something. Flowers would be nice. Maybe a little, candy. Some people are overweight.
Yeah, and we're diabetic. Yeah. Or at least I am. Well, actually, you can give me sugar-free candy. I'll take it.
And also, remember, our podcasts are available. You can actually go to our Facebook page and click on the link and go to the podcast from our Facebook page, but you can also go directly to www.tantalk1340.com. That's TANTALK1340.com. And go to podcasts, and then go to Spectrum 360, and you can listen that way as well. There's seven programs that we've done previously. This is our eighth program. We've been on the air for 2 months, so let's have a round of applause
yes,
for ourselves.
A round of applause. That is, you need to applause in a circle.
I should have had our applause file queued up.
There we go. Oh man.
Thank you,
Cedric. Thank you, Cedric.
Large,
I have a question.
Non-existent studio audience.
This is Tan Talk. Does that mean we have to have a tan to talk?
For you, yes. For me, no.
Okay.
Some people have more tan than others.
Well, hey, listen, I can't help it if I'm a little lack of pigmentation.
You know, your left arm should have been tan from all that driving that you did when you went to the north.
I know. Well, what can I say? You know, Mark, I, I'm just amazed that just all the kinds of things that are going on, not only in the Bay Area, but of course across the country, but it just seems like it's hard to keep up with everything. And of course, we're trying to also talk about not just political and social justice kinds of things, but also arts and culture. And I know you had the opportunity to do some things with that. Went to the Clearwater Jazz Festival. I'm jealous because actually I love going to the Jazz Fest.
Yes, I actually did do that, and we're going to talk about that briefly close to the end of the program. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the next segment of the program, and the next segment is on the rally to stop the Duke Energy ripoff. Oh. And what is the Duke Energy ripoff? Well, just briefly, Duke Energy proposed to build nuclear power plants to provide additional power in Levy County, and after a long process of attempting to build them and plan to build them, they're not going to be built. And there was a lot of money spent on that effort. And the Public Service Commission is now actually has approved a what's called a settlement agreement for the advance recovery fee. And the advance recovery fee was a fee that the state legislature very improperly allowed the company to charge for power plants. So they're charging money for to construct power plants that are not going to be constructive, can't be constructed, and they've produced no electricity, and yet they're charging their customers for electricity they've never produced. Boy, that's a great business model.
I was just going to say, Mark, that is unbelievable when you think about it.
It really is.
You and I would never get that kind of advance or anyone else, but they're getting an advance from we the people,
yes,
and then the government's agreeing to it. That's disgusting.
It is. Since when do companies get paid for not providing the service or product that they're trying to, you know, that there's their stated objective to provide to the public? It's ridiculous, especially for a boondoggle like that. So now ratepayers, Duke Energy ratepayers, their customers, from what I understand from statistics that we've got from a number of people at the Duke Energy rally on Saturday, the 12th of October at 11 a.m., right in front of the Duke office, it's between $1.8 and I believe $3 billion that may be charged to the ratepayers, and that's going to be over $1,000 per customer. So it's just incredible the amount of money they're trying to steal.
So on average, another $80 to $100 a month in our bill.
Well, I don't know exactly how it's going to be charged, but the amount per customer, if you divide the amount that they're trying to, quote, uncover, requote, unquote, it's going to average over $1,000 a customer. Some estimates put it up as high as $2,000, depending on how much they're allowed to recover. And I've got some audio from the Stop Duke Energy Ripoff rally. It features Dwight Dudley, who's a state representative from Pinellas County. And we're going to hear him speak about the Duke Energy ripoff and what the situation is and what we can do about it. Take it away,
Dudley.
Dudley. This is Frank Lupo.
And it was one person who was running for public office who shined a very bright and very constant light on this injustice to Duke customers, the advance fee law, which allows them to get away with taking our money and giving nothing back in return. And he was running for public office in District 68, and the voters were smart enough informed enough to make him their leader up in Tallahassee on this issue. A fierce consumer advocate, and he has just begun to fight on this issue. And it is indeed an honor and a pleasure for me to introduce our first speaker, State House Member Dwight Dudley from District 68. Thank you so much, Dwight.
And this is Dwight Dudley. Great speaker.
People have been fighting and joining in on this issue. This is something that we've been blindsided by. It happened in 2006. I remember driving by this spot, as I told some of you before, and I saw protesters out here sometime around that time. And was going on, I, you know, started seeing all the things, the bad stuff that was happening in Tallahassee for consumers and ratepayers, and I started reading much more and investigating it and learned about this horrible law in 2006 that passed that allows the power companies, investor-owned utilities, to take as much money as they want for as long as they want with very, very little regulation, a PSC that has almost never said no, and here we go again. The promise of cheap, clean power, right? With the idea of nuclear energy. And they were deaf, dumb, and blind to all the signs from Wall Street, environmental information, everything that they ignored and plowed ahead. Why? Because they had this new mechanism, the utility tax. And they have taxed us and taxed us. And the PSC has been complicit in helping them do that. They have not stopped them or slowed them down. So here we are. The nightmare that we've gone through. And finally, you know, we've made some progress. And it's your voices and your awareness of this issue and your fighting on this issue and you're letting your lawmakers know and speaking out that has got them to turn around. They shut down Bristol River 3. That is a massive accomplishment. And now, just about a month ago, they've agreed, okay, no more. We're done. Levy County, they're holding out. They're keeping the door ajar just a bit, saying, well, you know, we're still going to go for our federal license. We're going to do that. But for the foreseeable future, we're done with Levy County. And that, but here's the big problem. Here's what's hurting. They continue to bill us. They continue to charge us. And this has a horrible consequence for us in our energy policy in Florida, in that there's crowd out. The nuclear power, you know, idea, while good on paper, has many pitfalls. And it's evident that the investor community, that Wall Street, and the rest of the world has been yelling that. There were 30-something plants online a couple years ago. Now there are about 5. And it's in states where people got tricked, like us. Now, we honestly didn't have much say. We have a very cozy relationship of about $2 million coming from Progress to legislators in last session, over $2 million. And apparently, that'll buy a pretty good nuke plant, or at least plants do it, and allow them to charge the customers, which is all that's happened. So they ignored all the warning signs. Everybody shouted and screamed about it, but they paid no heed because we got to pay the whole way. We were paying the whole way, and we continue to pay. Now, in the criminal law, when you steal more than $300, it's called a felony, right? What the heck is happening in Tallahassee? What is wrong with our PSC? You know, when a felony is committed, there's an investigation. Not congratulations, we're settling with you, and we're going to give you even more money now. What an outrage. What a travesty for us. And we have such enlightened people in the legislature, like some of our leaders, that say, you know, listen, that renewable energy stuff, that solar power, it just won't work in Florida. It just won't work. There are too many intermittent clouds. I guess we need to take the Sunshine State off our license plate.
It works in Germany.
Germany, France, New Jersey is number one in the country. How can that be? I wish I were here today bragging about how Florida is number one, that we're doing so great, that we have this wonderful plan to keep our planet, you know, cleaner, get our planet cleaner, and to do better, to have a wiser policy with regard to carbon footprint. But It's a shame they're greedy leeches. Nice sign. I'm talking about, sadly, there are people on both sides that aren't helping us the way we need to. We had an amendment last session, Truth in Billing. We had an amendment for a referendum to put this to a vote. And I think that's where we got to go, folks, that we're looking at amending the Florida Constitution to change this, to kill this utility tax. To kill the utility tax once and for all, because but for this utility tax, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They wouldn't have the money they have, and they wouldn't be engaging in Florida's biggest folly with Titanic consequences. So, we're calling for an investigation. We don't need to have a cover-up. We don't want to sweep it under the rug. We're owed money. They need to give us money, not give Duke more money. We want our money back. And this is a little worse than a $300 grand theft. It's, if nothing else, let's pretend that everybody did everything they were supposed to. It was appropriate. It was legal. It was ethical. Let's pretend for a few minutes, right? In this altered universe. We would still investigate how billions of dollars have been spent and not one kilowatt of power generated. We deserve that. We demand that. Thank you for joining together. Thank you for fighting. We can do this. The people are powerful. Let's keep it going. Let's not give up on this. Let's keep fighting. Let's change the Florida Constitution, because we can't get the legislature to be responsive when they're taking so much money from the interest that they're supposed to regulate. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that was Bill Dudley at a rally that happened.
Dwight Dudley.
Boy, I'm getting everybody's names right tonight, aren't I? That was Dwight Dudley, who is one of our Florida representatives. And that happened just a couple weeks ago in Williams Park across. That's in St. Petersburg across.
Right next to Williams Park, right in front of the Duke Energy office.
Right.
Saturday, the October of 12th.
Yes. And, you know, after hearing that, you know, it is shocking how all too often our government, nationally, but in particular in Florida, does not operate in the sunshine, which is why we're supposed to have these so-called sunshine laws, which you're going to be hearing more about that, too, in the next week. I don't want to get into too much detail there, but there's going to be some other people that have violated the sunshine laws that are going to come out.
The sunshine state.
Yes, the sunshine state. As he was saying in the speech, it seems like it's more the cloudy state right now. And, you know, it's pretty bad when you hear that New Jersey has a better record related to the environment than Florida. I remember when I was a kid driving through Jersey, and you'd always talk about the smell there. So it's tragic. And, you know, I hope that this process will continue and that the people will prevail, that will stop the Duke Energy ripoff. Well, we want to acknowledge some people at some point, but we've got another segment we're going to play here before we do that. And take it away, Mark.
Okay, ready for our next segment. We're going to speak a little bit about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday, just briefly here to wrap up the program, and also the death of U.S. Representative Bill Young, C.W. Bill Young, died this last Friday of last week, October 18th. after what appeared to be a short illness. He had resigned previously just about a week before that and then had been hospitalized, and then he died. We're going to speak about that briefly, but right now I want to speak about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday just briefly. I had the privilege of going there both Thursday and Saturday nights and saw the great band Chicago, and just a little bit about Chicago. I've got an affinity for Chicago, number one, because I was a horn player, trombone player back in the 70s when Chicago was in their early heyday. And also because we use their music on this program,
yes.
When you hear the start of the program and you hear that music underneath the voiceover that introduces you to the program, that's a Chicago song. That's actually a heavily produced radio version for this radio program of the song by Chicago called I'm a Man, which is a great song. And also, we use parts of Chicago's Dialogue Parts 1 and 2, which is an all-time favorite song of mine. And they were excellent. They were really, really good. And the Clearwater Jazz Holiday has really kind of expanded the type of types of music that they include. It's really, it should be renamed, in my opinion. I think they should start calling it the Clearwater Jazz and Rock Holiday, because they stray into a lot of different types of music other than just the pure jazz. And it's great. It's working. It's excellent. And then also, Saturday night, I was able to see Tower of Power.
Oh, there's some horns.
Oh, yeah. You talk about a great horn section. Four horn players, super tight. This is their 46th year that they in the business.
Wow.
I've been into them since 1974 when I bought the Back to Oakland album.
This is when you were like 4 or 5
years
old.
Yeah, when I was two, actually.
Okay.
No, I was 18 in 1974. And I remember that great album. It had Don't Change Horses in the Middle of the Stream and Squib Cakes. And they played neither of those songs. Well, they played a little bit of Squib Cakes for the sound check. But they did play a lot of their old hits. It was a great performance, and I recommend people check out what they are doing at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday, because that's a great event. Bruce?
Well, yes, we'd like to take some time out, speaking of just events, to acknowledge some of the people that are involved in supporting what we're doing here at Spectrum 360. I would like to thank The Refuge. They can be reached at 727-278-1547. Of course, the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. That's economichumanrights.org. Veterans for Peace, Chapter 119, which can be found on Facebook. Gennaro Coffee House, 1047 Central Avenue North. You're impressed that I didn't say Gennaro's?
Oh, I'm so relieved. You've been putting that S on there for 7 programs. You got it right. Hey. Some applause for Bruce, please. There we go.
All right.
Now, I want to see if you can say massage.
We'll see when that happens. Gennaro Coffee House, again, 1047 Central Avenue North. You can catch them at 727-202-6956. Every Monday night, they show documentary films with St. Pete for Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And every Saturday night with Mona Lisa, they have First Stop Poetry at 8:30 p.m.
Also, great smoothies.
Yes,
grab
absolutely.
A smoothie and a wrap.
Exactly. You gonna wrap? Okay, my name. No, don't worry.
I mean,
I'm
the
not
edible wraps.
Yeah. And then relax at home, licensed massage therapist.
All right.
Yeah.
More applause. He got massage right. Oh, that was great.
Call Patricia at 813-784-7485. My Place in Recovery Thrift Store for all your thrift needs. If you're thrifty.
I'm thrifty.
Yes. Call them at 727-244-0427. They're located at 1650 First Avenue North. And then, of course, the Catholic Worker in St. Petersburg. They can also be reached at 727-278-1547. And the League of Revolutionaries for New America, LRNA.org. And that's our acknowledgments for tonight. We have a couple last things we're going to share, including something about Congressman Bill Young.
Well, yes. As we said previously, Congressman, U.S. Representative C.W. Bill Young died last week on Friday, which was the 18th of October. We'd like to send our condolences and our sympathy to Bill Young's staff, because, of course, the
and
congressman...
Family.
Yes, I'm getting to that. Because the staff, of course, once he resigned, they were soon to be out of a job. And now that he has died and is no longer alive, they're very definitely out of a job. So... We acknowledge that they are unemployed, and we extend our sympathies to them. And also, we hope for their being able to reemploy themselves. And also, of course, to Bill Young's family, and especially his son. I'm sure they're going to miss their father and their relative. whoever they were related to him, and he was a famous man. And he did do good things for the area, although, you know, sometimes I wonder who's better at pork, Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia, or was it C.W. Beale Young? My gosh.
Maybe they should be a special award for, I don't know, pork barrel projects.
They got an awful lot of projects for their states, those two men, I'll have to say. So we just want to acknowledge and send our sympathies and our condolences to his family and staff and friends as well. He did do a number of good things in the area. There is a good article in the Tampa Bay Times regarding him on Saturday, the October 19th, 2 days ago, which was titled Benefactor, His Legacy, the Beaches, Infrastructure, and Military in Tampa Bay. And just a personal note, unfortunately, one of the things that I remember C.W. Beale Young for was when Sam, my friend Sam Simpson was running for Congress. I believe it was either 2008 or 2010. I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly when that was. But she ran for Congress, and there was a debate that was sponsored. I believe it was by WEDU, and Representative Young did not come to the debate. And what he did was he said that he was busy visiting veterans at the Walter Reed Army Hospital. Well, it turns out that that was false information. He was not visiting veterans at the Walter Reed Army Hospital. And he used that as an excuse not to debate in public with his opponents. So he wasn't, you know, he wouldn't debate. And then he lied about it. And that was, unfortunately, that's one of the memories that I have about Mr. Young, unfortunately. And then the caning incident where he attacked an activist a few months ago with a cane and struck him in front of the police.
Wow.
So there are a couple of sad things that I remember about the whole situation as well. I wish he had not engaged in those kind of acts, but he did a lot of good things as well. So that wraps up Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 21st of October, 2013. We will see you next week. Remember, like us on Facebook, listen to the podcast. Any last words, Bruce?
Yes, stay tuned next week. We have a very important breaking news that you're going to hear first on Spectrum 360. We always try to bring you things that no one else brings and bring that first to you. Listen next week.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Co-producer, co-host, and field reporter, Bruce Wright. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters from the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.